Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome inside of this week's edition of What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears. Thanks for being a part of our program as we do our best to bring you the news and information that matters to you. In many cases, it's not talked about in the mainstream media. We're going to start our series this week on a war on drugs. We're tired of watching lives be destroyed. I know where I'm from right here in North Central West Virginia. It is a major, major problem. And so we're going to talk about that on the program today, and also going to start the program off. I have a little statement I'd like to make on the Duggar family situation. I haven't talked about it. I'm going to break my silence on it, and we're going to talk about it there. But first, let's get into some particulars. If you'd like to be a part of our program tonight at any point in time, dial 646-929-0637. Again, that number is 646-929-0637 if you want to call in and be a part of the program live. If you would like to email us, you can do so, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Mailing address 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Follow us on Facebook, What's Important Now Radio Program or WIN Radio Program. That'll help you find us, stay up to date on what we're doing, what's going on. And on Twitter, at T Sears WIN Radio, at T Sears WIN Radio. Okay, we're going to start off tonight with a new segment of our program. We're going to call it Making Sense of It, and we're going to try to start every program off with this particular segment. There's been a recent situation that involves a Duggar family of 19 kids and counting, and apparently their son Josh inappropriately fondled or touched young girls, including his sisters. And I listened to their exclusive interview last night on the Megyn Kelly program, and I wanted to share my thoughts. I've spent some time listening to various viewpoints from Christians and non-Christians alike. And let me say first that I have never been a fan of 19 kids and counting. Now, the reason is simply, I don't watch that kind of programming. I'm not saying that one shouldn't watch, but I just don't watch it. Now, my wife and daughters love it, and they expect me to have it available on DVR, but it's just not my type of programming. I've naturally been in the room while they've been watching, and I've been rather impressed about how they raise their children and live their lives. I was particularly impressed with their whole courting aspect. Of course, I have daughters, so you can imagine why I liked that idea so much. But to me, someone who doesn't watch it a whole lot, it seemed that they were a strong Christian family trying to raise their children accordingly. And my wife, she assured me that, well, this was the case. Much to my surprise, the revelation came. Their son Josh had problems, at least had them as a teenager. And I mentioned that I had listened to various people about this, and I've held my silence because I simply didn't know what to say or what to think. I mean, I believe what he did was wrong, but should the entire family be ridiculed for the way they handled it? It wasn't until last night when I was watching the Megyn Kelly program that I decided what I thought about this. In this segment, I'm going to attempt to make sense of it. As I've already stated, Josh Duggar was wrong. He was 13, 14, or 15 years old and clearly needed help. Now, did he get that help? Well, the family says he did. He was sent away with a family friend who counseled him while doing hard labor. Well, I don't know if it was hard labor, but my understanding is that he worked while staying there. I learned last night that Josh, he was the one that went to his parents. He told him what he had done. According to his parents, he was clearly remorseful because it's my understanding that the victims, in this case his sisters, they didn't even have any idea that anything had been done. But his behavior continued, and his parents made the decision to remove him from the home. This is after putting some safeguards in place. Listening to them last night, I really tried placing myself in their shoes. Now, they obviously love all of their children. It must have been difficult to go through this situation. So, a long story short, according to the family, Josh got the help he needed, and that's where the story ends. Or does it? Now, I have had, again, I've heard Christians and non-Christians jump in line to condemn this family for the way they handled the situation. Why did they not immediately go to the cops, they ask. They're covering all of this up, they've shouted. Well, I thought about this. And I've come to the conclusion that they did the best thing they knew how to do. Be a parent. According to the Duggars, Josh touched these girls inappropriately, and all but one time was on the outside of the clothing. Now, I'm not trying to minimize what happened. There is no excuse. But I try not to think about what the, or excuse me, I try to think about what the parents were going through. Can you imagine? It must have been grueling. Now, after Josh came back from counseling, his parents took him to the state police, where he confessed, and no charges were brought. The files that were supposed to be sealed, because, by the way, it was a juvenile. Again, talking about a young teenage boy here. These sealed files are released. All of the world knows what Josh did. Now, I'm not as disappointed about the world knowing what he did as I am that the victims have to relive what he did. So why were these files released? Obviously, it's illegal. So why are we even talking about it? Well, as you probably already know, I firmly believe there is an agenda in this country to silence, to ridicule, and to ultimately destroy anyone that is Christian. It happened with Duck Dynasty, the uproar over them praying around the table, and the attacks that have come against their family. And it's happening with the Duggars. And it happens every day all across this country. The matter should have been left exactly where it was. The family had dealt with it. Josh had sought help and forgiveness. I'm deeply saddened that Christians are some of the first in line to eat their own, so to speak. The problem is we just can't stand a family looking as wholesome as they do. We must dig up dirt. We must prove they have problems or skeletons in their closets. Well, let me be clear. We all have them. And we all have things from our past that we would be ashamed if it were brought out. So let's pray for them and let's quit trying to attack them. They sound sincere. Only God can judge if they are. We are all broken babies with a lot of brokenness. Let's try to remember that as we look to make sense of it all. Finally, the story this week is how Bruce Jenner has transitioned to Caitlyn. Now, I'm not going to talk about this long, but there is something that troubles me. I recently saw that Bruce Jenner won the Heroism Award. I'd like to spend some time, just a brief moment, on who did not win that award. The award is an ESPY from ESPN for courage in the face of strong adversity. One of the ones that did not win was a young lady by the name of Lauryn Hill. Now, Lauryn was a 19-year-old college basketball player battling cancer, yet stayed on the team. Like I said, I'm not going to talk about this long, but I find this troubling. Bruce Jenner is making a choice to turn into a woman. His choice. Lauren, she didn't have a choice. Yet she battled courageously, and for that, I feel she should have been awarded. The fact was, or is, she's not going to get that award. She's passed away, and her family won't get that award in her honor. And that, well, I can't make sense of that. Again, welcome inside of our program. I'm Tom Sears. This is What's Important Now. The lineup tonight, we're going to begin a discussion about the drug problem in America. And before we get into all of that, I'm going to give you some news and some things that are happening, things you haven't heard but you need to hear. We're going to talk about some of those things. Now, we were talking about the Duggar family there in our first segment. And the Associated Press has come out with a report that reality TV star Jessa Duggar told Fox News Channel on Wednesday that while she was a victim of her brother Josh's sexual misconduct, the allegations he's a child molester or pedophile are so overboard and a lie, she says. Jessa Duggar featured like her brother in the family's TLC series 19 Kids and Counting, told Fox in an interview conducted in Arkansas on Wednesday that she wanted to defend him. The Associated Press generally does not identify victims of sexual mistreatment, but Jessa Duggar is speaking publicly in an interview that Fox's Megyn Kelly also conducted with her parents, Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar. While Fox distributed Jessa Duggar's quote Wednesday, it didn't show it during the one-hour special about the case with Kelly. Instead, saying Fox would air the interviews with Jessa and her sister Jill on Friday. She wrote online, Josh wrote online, and he's apologized, by the way. I would do anything to go back to those teen years and take different actions. In my life today, I am so very thankful for God's grace, mercy, and redemption. So OneNewsNow.com, on their page with this story, they had a poll, and you could vote on the poll. And the categories are, if the whole world knew of my worst deeds, you could vote on that. Or you could say he committed an awful act a long time ago. Or you can say that the Family Research Council should have retained him as an employee. Or you could say, I'm hurt by this, don't know what to think. Or the whole redemption idea, it means something. And that, just to let you know, that's what I voted for, was the whole redemption idea, it means something. And it's leading in that poll at OneNewsNow.com. with 48.56%, the next coming in second at 20%, if the whole world knew of my worst deeds. Boy, isn't that true. In third at 17.5%, he committed an awful act a long time ago. Fourth, FRC, or the Family Research Council, should have retained him as an employee, 10%. And lastly, I'm hurt by this, don't know what to think. That comes in at 3%. Just scrolling down to the bottom of the page, let's see here. Just some quotes or comments at the bottom of the news section, and I'm not going to mention names, but one says, the family is trying to minimize the damage in order to save their TV show and any upcoming shows. They can't invite the media into their lives and then complain about how the media reports their story. What do you think? What do you think about this? Another person says, I love this family so much. What is wrong with people nowadays? Josh was a child. Can't people in this world find anything better to do than to try to destroy a family for what a child did when he was 14? Can't tell me if it was your child, you would want others to do the same as you're doing to them. What everyone should be upset about is how this got out. He was a child. His records should have been sealed. Leave this family alone. God bless you, Duggar family. So many of us love you. You're not alone. We are here for you. And so that's the sentiment coming from just a couple people there reading. You know, what do you think? Would love to hear from you here in this first segment, 646-929-0637. What do you think about this situation? Is it being handled correctly? Should they have been removed from television? And, you know, is everything that they're getting, is that good? Is that the way it should be? Or do you think, like that one I just read, that this is an attack on their family? And would love to hear what you think. 646-929-0637. 0637. Let's take a look and see what's happening around the rest of the nation here. And let's be clear, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. I genuinely do believe this is an attack on a Christian family. So anyway, Rick Perry is launching another White House bid. He's expected to announce here soon that, as a matter of fact, he's already launched his presidential website. So he's going to be running for president. School gives go ahead for students pro-life. School corrects mistake, gives go ahead for students for life. According to OneNewsNow.com, Thomas More Society has won a victory for students in California Public School who want to meet in the womb. Students at Madeira High School ran into a snag when they sought official school recognition of a Students for Life club at their school. Attorney Jocelyn Foyd of the Chicago-based Thomas More Society explains the case. She says, "We have some students in Madeira, California, who wanted to create a pro-life group and, as usual, ran into some problems. The administration there was concerned about the controversial nature, about the political nature of the message, and made statements along the line of having to exercise caution because of the nature of the group's speech." So, once again, and this again is my opinion, once again, I think that this is a scenario where, you know, something that upholds Christian values like supporting life, I can't quite figure out how that's not a human value, but that's, I guess, another program for another day. But anyway, anything that's Christian, we attack, and so it's controversial. Abortion's controversial, but all the other topics and all the other clubs and all the other groups, they're not controversial. Let's let them do what they want to do. Oh, it is so aggravating to me that we are so double-minded in this country, and I think that we're unstable in all of our ways, really. Anti-police outbreaks. Who's to blame? Chad Groening of OneNewsNow.com says, a conservative activist and political analyst says what's happening in Baltimore and other American cities illustrate the folly of liberal policies that have shackled police, much to the detriment in the community. The whole liberal approach to crime has always been to shackle the police, to say that the perpetrators are the victims. That's according to Robert Knight, who is a senior fellow at the American Civil Rights Union. In Baltimore, with the arrests dropping by half this year, there are many more violent people out on the streets, and it shows with a multitude of murders. It's a very bad situation, and you wonder when the people of Baltimore are going to say enough is enough, bring the police back. Now, Knight's recent column points out that Baltimore police have retreated, booking half as many suspects as they did last year after being stung by an avalanche of bad publicity following the tragic death in police custody of Freddie Gray on April the 19th. So, crime waves? Who's to blame for it? Listen, we're living in a society where morality and all these things have been kicked out the window, and then we wonder why we're facing scenarios like this. It's amazing to me, actually. Website helps supporters put their money where their values are, and this is something I've been excited to put here on the program. Conservatives and people of faith can shop wisely with the debut of a new website. The theme of Second Vote, a new website for consumers, is Follow the Money. Chris Walker, who heads the organization, tells One News Now, the website will help conservatives make sure their spending supports their values. He says, we decided to build the database and build a website or app to allow conservative consumers to take information and see where companies spend the money that we spend with them. Whether it has to do with issues like life, marriage, environment, or education, the list goes on and on. We need to empower ourselves to know where our money is going and follow the money. One News Now tested out the website by picking the category of abortion and specifically Planned Parenthood. The website indicated that Pepsi, Coca-Cola, ExxonMobil, Macy's, and many other companies pump money into the biggest abortion provider in the United States. He goes on to add that conservatives do spend time getting up to speed on issues, especially leading up to elections. So, if you're interested in that, it's Second Vote, secondvote.com, and that's the number two, ndvote.com, secondvote.com. Oh, wait, wouldn't it be nice to know where your money's going? I'm uncomfortable with my money going into places that I know it's not for, you know, positive things. That doesn't align, let me say it this way, that doesn't line up with my values. Ladies and gentlemen, as we have been announcing and advertising, we are going to start a series on the war on drugs. There is a problem in America. We are losing the people we care about. Drugs are showing up literally everywhere, and it can be anywhere, and we should not deceive ourselves into thinking that it cannot happen to our family. If you'd like to be a part of our program tonight, dial 646-929-0637. Taking a break. When we come back, we start that war on drugs.
Always right. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. Have you ever been around someone who's always right? It's hard to get a word in edgewise. People who are always right delight in airing their opinion, yet they seldom are willing to listen to others. As a result, their circle of community dwindles over time. It may take a bit of time for others to figure it out, but eventually they fall away because no one delights in one-sided relationships. Listen to Proverbs 12:15. It states, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." How often do you find yourself listening? A significant part of wisdom is simply being found listening. Delight in listening before airing your own opinion. You may just learn something about the one you're listening to. You may learn something about life. You may learn something about yourself.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
This is Walk the Way, brought to you by Q-Place. I'm Jeff Klein.
And I'm Pam Klein. Not too long ago, I heard Gary Haugen, president and CEO of International Justice Mission, speak. I was incredibly impacted by his passionate reminder that God chose to make his appeal to the world through us. The gospel suffers from an image problem. Christians know how much God loves the world. We know that. He is good. We've experienced the good news. Yet truth be known, most of the world experiences anything but love and goodness and good news. Most of the world lives in so much darkness. Most of the world lives in so much pain. That is the greatest obstacle the gospel must overcome. But what's the plan to do that? How will those in darkness and such pain see God's goodness and come to believe that He's good? Haugen insists we're it. We're the plan. I'm inclined to agree. Living in a way that demonstrates the love of Jesus makes the gospel message believable. Tell us how your love life's going on Facebook.com/walktheway.
Welcome back inside the program. What's important now more? Important now than ever. I'm Tom Sears. Thanks for being a part of our program as we are going to tackle the tough topics and a big topic, the war on drugs, the problem of drug abuse and drug addiction in America today. If you'd like to join us in this conversation, you can dial 646-929-0637. Again, that number, 646-929-0637. Also, I've launched the chat window if you want to chat back and forth. I can hit that up during the breaks. And if you'd like to send us an email, it's whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Well, let's start this war on drugs, and it's really going to have several different levels, and in the weeks coming, we're going to have guests on here that have experienced this or been an addict, and we're going to tackle this issue because you know, as you know, more states are starting to legalize marijuana, and prescription drug abuse, it's on the rise, and narcotics, they're destroying our families. So we got to stand up against this killer. And, you know, parents are losing children, and children are losing parents, and it's time to fight back. And so we're going to start that fight right here, right now. Okay, so the thing that I would want to start with is that this is something that, as drugs go, I have never been a drug user. As a matter of fact, if I take a Benadryl, I'm half out of it. I have never, this has not been something that I have been a part of. With that being said, my time in ministry, I have been exposed, I guess I could say, to the dangers of drug addiction and drug abuse because I have had to work with people that have, in fact, battled this problem. And as you'll learn in the upcoming weeks, it was a situation that our family faced several years ago. You thank God for his redemptive work. Yeah, you see, redemption does work. But anyway, so this is something that I've not only dealt with in ministry, but we've experienced it close to home. And I am a firm believer. Now, there's a ton of people that argue this, but I am a firm believer that marijuana is sort of a gateway drug. And a lot of people argue with that. And you know what? I've never done it, thank God. I've never done prescription drugs. I've never, not that I couldn't have. You know, see, that's the thing. It's by the grace of God that I even sit here. But this has not been a lifestyle that I have known. I know a lot of ministers who have known this lifestyle. I've talked to them a great deal about it. And we've had groups like Teen Challenge into our churches, and I've heard their stories. One that sticks out to me, let me share this, and I don't know the names, not that it really matters, but we had Teen Challenge at our church, and a young man stood on the platform and told his story, that he had a friend, and he and this friend were strung out on drugs. And one evening, they decided to make a suicide pact. They were both going to end their lives. They were done. And so the one guy went upstairs to the bathtub, and the other guy went to the basement. And they were going to count to a certain number, and then they were both going to shoot themselves. And he told the story of how he was in the basement, and he lost nerve. And he heard the gun go off upstairs. And he said he raced up those steps, and his friend had shot himself. Life apparently had... Well, this particular guy, he entered Teen Challenge, and he walked in freedom for a period of time. And I've heard since then that he went back. One of our programs recently, we told you of someone that was addicted to heroin that had got himself clean, had witnessed in his life the loss of family, and I mean, everything fell apart, and that's what drugs, that's what they do. And he lost everything, but he got clean. And to my understanding, I think the number was 18 months he was clean. And it wasn't all that long ago they found him with a drug overdose. He died. This is someone he was actually sponsoring other drug addicts. He was helping them. He was clean. He was attending church. He was going through, I mean, he was doing everything right. And something happened. Something happened. And again, I don't fully understand that life, and I don't fully understand that pull. But it's a killer, ladies and gentlemen. It's a killer. Attending in my church alone, our are individuals who have battled drug addiction, and God has set them free. And so I want you to know that there is freedom. There is freedom from this. And so if you're listening to this, and I say it this way all the time, if it's live, we'll pray with you right now wherever you are. If it's archived, you can message us through Blog Talk Radio. We'll reach out and pray with you. But we're not the ones that can bring that deliverance, and we can't bring that salvation. That's found only in Jesus Christ. But this is a real problem. It's a problem that's killing a lot of people. And it's not just heroin, although heroin is becoming the drug of choice because, from what I'm told, it's cheap or cheaper. We've seen, starting in the 2000s, a rise in prescription drug abuse. Because think about this, you could, in many cases, go to the doctor and say your back hurt or this hurt or that hurt, and guess what happens? You get drugs. I can tell you from my experience and from those that I have witnessed go down this road, the dependency upon the drug changes every aspect of your life. The dependency on the drug changes every aspect of your life. You will steal from your mother to get a hold of those drugs. There are few wars that the United States can say that they haven't won. Few, very few. But the war on illicit drugs and drug abuse in general continues to be a war in America where there is no clear victory in sight. According to the National Drug Threat Survey, it was conducted by the Drug Enforcement Agency, or the DEA, the use of illicit substances, and this is a report that came out in 2004, but it takes time to get all those numbers together, so the actual numbers are from 2011. But the use of illicit substances in 2011 was actually down, but only marginally, to 8.7% of the population aged, 12 years and older, from 8.9 in 2010. So it was marginally down. The National Drug Threat Survey also notes that certain regions of the country deal with difficult challenges based on their location relative to Mexico, a country with weaker drug trafficking enforcement. The study specifically notes that heroin infiltration from Mexico into the U.S. continues to be a serious problem in a number of regions. What the report also tells us is that the fastest growing drug problem isn't even an illicit drug at all. With the exception of marijuana, which is still the most widely used illicit drug, controlled prescription drugs, or CPDs, represent by far the most rapidly growing drug problem that we have in America. And according to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, pain relievers are the most commonly used CPD, with its data indicating that 6.1 people, that's about 2.7% of the U.S. population, again, aged 12 years or older, admitted to using these drugs for non-medical reasons. And when polled over the last month, CPD was used by 2.4% of the population. And that's compared to 0.4% for hallucinogens and 0.5% for cocaine. Marijuana use, of course, is notably higher at 7%. Of course, with states legalizing it, why wouldn't it be? The truth of the matter is, prescription drug abuse is a very real and very serious problem, at least in the eyes of law enforcement agencies around the country, of which 28% have identified CPDs as the top drug threat in their region. And worse yet, the survey data indicates that access to controlled prescription drugs is only increasing. It may grow even further as we see the expansion in Obamacare and various things. So, pain medication or CPDs or controlled prescription drugs, they are taking over the drug situation in America. Now, where I'm located here in North Central West Virginia, West Virginia is one of the leading states in America, prescription drug abuse. And the area in which I live, the county, it leads the state. So it's a problem. It's a problem that I know well. And again, a lot of times, and they're cracking down on it, but a lot of times what we have found is that doctors, you know, have given out prescriptions for backaches and it's been controlled prescription substances. As a matter of fact, here in our area, in our region alone, some doctors have been arrested for writing prescriptions to people that were dead, you know, to get these prescription drugs out and then selling them on the side. Even some of the pharmacists have been, you know, a local pharmacist who was also a mayor was caught doing this type of activity. And so that right there points to the fact that it really is not limited to, you know, what you think a drug addict is. People are bound by prescription drugs. And I will say this, in many cases, it starts out very, very innocent. Maybe it starts with an injury. And before you know it, you're hooked. And in a lot of cases, when the injury ends but the dependency's still there, these individuals no longer have a script for these drugs, guess what happens? They start selling and stealing and all doing all kind of stuff. I've watched a lot of those intervention shows, and you know, a lot of people have sold literally everything they had to get a fix. And as far as I'm concerned, we have to do a better job in our country and as parents and as churches in allowing people to, educating people of the real dangers of prescription drug abuse. You know, a lot of middle school kids will go to their mom or dad's or their grandparents' medicine cabinet. Before you know it, they're taking drugs. They're taking drugs. And so we have got to do a better job. Now, I've got this National Geographic, and it's actually this month's, and they do a whole article on the science of marijuana. And medically, and that's their whole argument, is from the, you know, the medical point of view. But since 2002, it's grown from 15 million to 21 million users of marijuana. Now, here's the interesting part. Only 1 million of that is for medical purposes. So 20 million have used prescription drugs. I find that troubling. Teen marijuana use versus teen perception of harm. In 1993, 26% of teenagers used it regularly, and 36% believed that it was harmful. Now, fast forward to 2013, and 36% use it regularly of teenagers, and 20% say it's harmful. And it's becoming increasingly available across our country. States are beginning to loosen their restrictions. So a lot of states are loosening their restrictions on marijuana, which obviously is going to, you know, change some things. States where medical marijuana is legal in all forms, and the number is growing. You know, up and down the West Coast, I see Arizona, New Mexico, Montana over there, jump over to Illinois, And it goes over into Maine, into New York, Maryland, Washington, D.C. It's available for medical use. And then there's other states where this is called cannabidol. It's a cannabis oil, and it's available. But at the end of the day, it's about money. And that's what troubles me, is that we're sacrificing the lives of our children. You want to say over marijuana? I personally believe, and there are research studies out there, that marijuana is a gateway drug. It leads, I should say, to other drug use. According to National Geographic, illicit marijuana use is dwarfed by the use of other substances. As demand for legal marijuana grows, businesses are eyeing this new market. What did I tell you? It's all about money. And so alcohol, the change in use in the U.S. population from 2002, 51%, to 2013, 52%. Tobacco is 30% in 2002. It's down to 26% of Americans using tobacco in 2013. Marijuana, recreational marijuana, in 2002, 6%, and like we said earlier, it's up to 8% now, and growing. So, does it have medical value? That's the key. That's the question. Cannabis was a mainstay of healers in ancient China, India, and Greece. This is according to National Geographic. Today, it status as an illegal drug under federal law hampers scientists who want to study its medical potential. Only two synthetic medicines have been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. They say that it can help glaucoma. Researchers are developing a drug that mimics marijuana's ability to reduce pressure in the eye, but without the plant's side effects. It supposedly helps MS, an extract that relieves pain and muscle spasms in MS patients. Has been approved in Europe and Canada, though it is not available in the U.S. They say it helps with AIDS. One of the FDA-approved synthetic versions of the substance found in marijuana helps increase appetite and treat weight loss in patients with the disease. They say it's helpful with cancer. The other synthetic version is used to treat nausea associated with chemotherapy. Recreational use, the primary psychoactive chemical in marijuana, THC, acts on the body to produce the high recreational users crave. Colors, sounds, and skin sensations can intensify, and time may seem to move slower. Cannabis can also worsen the symptoms of depression and anxiety. The effects on the brain, many parts of the brain have receptors that react to marijuana. Some regulate food intake and cause cravings. Others regulate dopamine and can cause a sense of euphoria. With the respiratory system, effects are felt seconds after inhalation and peak within 30 minutes. Unfiltered cannabis inhaled deeply can expose smokers to more carbon monoxide and tar than cigarettes do. The heart rate can double, prompting panic attacks in some users. Studies also show that shortly after use, the risk of a heart attack can increase significantly. And with the digestive system, when cannabis is eaten, can more slowly and last longer, making it hard to regulate dosage. The feeling of hunger often intensifies. So there you're talking about marijuana, and it's up to 8% of the U.S. population using that drug. The cost of drug abuse in America. Now listen to this. Substance abuse in America costs around $484 billion per year. Now, for a moment, let's talk about some other things here. Let's do a comparison. In comparison, smoking cost our nation $138 billion. Illegal drugs, $161 billion. And alcohol, $185 billion. Do the math there. Substance abuse is costing our country and $84 billion per year. There's no doubt drug abuse is a major public health problem. It impacts society really on multiple levels, whether it's direct or indirect. Every community is affected by drug abuse, affected by addiction. Every family is affected. And it's taking a tremendous toll on our society. The cost of drug abuse, in comparison, I told you we were going to do a comparison, the cost of drug abuse, again, substance abuse, and that's including smoking, illegal drugs, and alcohol, $484 billion it costs the nation. Diabetes, on the other hand, costs the nation $131.7 billion, and cancer costs $171.6 billion. You think of chronic conditions. I wonder what we could do with the $484 billion to fight those chronic conditions. Now, this is healthcare costs. This is lost earnings. This is costs that come with crime and accidents. It's a tremendous burden on our society. It's a tremendous burden upon our country. It's a major problem. Think about this. Tobacco contributes to from 11 to 30% of cancer deaths. Heart disease. Researchers have found a connection between the abuse of tobacco, cocaine, ecstasy, steroids. Tobacco is responsible for about 30% of all heart disease deaths in a year. We talked about how approximately one-third of AIDS cases reported in the year 2000 were because of injection, because of injection drugs. And half, listen to this, this is so sad, half of the pediatric AIDS cases result from injection drug use to the with the child's mother. We're just passing it on to our children. It's a major health issue. Most of America's top social issues can be traced back to substance abuse or drug abuse. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates that drugs are used by approximately 10 to 22% of drivers involved in crashes, often in combination with alcohol. Violence, at least half of the individuals arrested for major crimes, including homicide, theft, and assault, were under the influence of illicit drugs around the time of their arrest. Stress. Exposure to stress is one of the most powerful triggers of substance abuse in vulnerable individuals and a relapse in former addicts. Ladies and gentlemen, it's easy to point our finger at people that are fighting these battles, but there's been many times in my life where I have thought to myself, if I had something to make everything in my head go away, I'd take it. Thank God I didn't, and thank God I didn't go that direction. Thank God, I say, because he's the one who has kept me. But we point fingers at people. We don't realize that there are people going through some very, very difficult, stressful, challenging times. And we should, instead of pointing our finger at them, I think we should pray for them and realize that if it were not for the grace of God, we'd be in that same place. Now, as it pertains to child abuse, at least two-thirds of patients in drug abuse treatment centers say they were physically or sexually abused as children. There you go. See, it's fighting those things and trying to drown out that pain. But drug abuse is impacting individuals and families and communities, and everyone knows someone who's affected by drug abuse. And in the upcoming weeks, as we continue this battle, as we continue this war on drugs, we're going to begin to have guests and here. This week's program, we're just laying a foundation of what it is, what the dangers are, and then we're going to hear from people that have been up front in that battle, on the battle line, so to speak. But there are people who are affected. For adolescents, this is a time period of high vulnerability to drug abuse and other risk-taking behaviors. That's why it's important to inform our teens, our adolescents, about the dangers of drug abuse. Mental illness. People with mental illness are particularly at risk for problems related to substance abuse. Consequences of substance abuse. These can include illness, injuries, and death. Each year, approximately 40 million debilitating illnesses or injuries occur among Americans as a result of substance abuse. Deaths. In 2000, approximately 460,000 deaths were because of illegal drug abuse. And it affects everyone, as we've said. It's a problem that's not going away. We need to stand up and fight this battle. If you're out there and you'd like to be a part of our program tonight, 646-929-0637. Now, there are some things that are coming up that are beyond my control here, and I may be playing some audio from some past programs and jumping off of here live. That is a possibility. I'm not sure yet. But we're fighting this battle. We're tackling these tough topics. And if you would like to comment, you can do so. Again, the chat box is open. Also, you can write us by email at whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, What's Important Now Radio or Win Radio Program. Or follow me on Twitter at @TSearsWinRadio. If you'd like to know more about New Beginnings Church, our church, newbeginningswv.com. That's newbeginningswv.com. And we just recently launched a new church app. And if you go to the app store with iPhone, you can download it there. Just search New Beginnings Church WV and download it. Or if you're on the Google Play, an Android-based phone, same thing, New Beginnings Church WV. Go to the Play Store, download it. And follow us on there. We have some good stuff. Take a break. We'll be back.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Hi, my name is Wayne from Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada. This is my prayer for the welfare of the state of Israel. Our Father in heaven, strengthen the defenders of our holy land. Grant them deliverance, O Lord, and crown them with victory. Bestow peace on the land and everlasting joy on its inhabitants. In Yeshua's name, we thank you, Lord. Amen.
I will pray shalom for you, Jerusalem.
Shalom, this is Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein. The Western Wall in Jerusalem is the holiest site in Israel where we take your prayers. Learn more at ifcj.org/prayforisrael.
The weight of anxiety. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. Professional sports is a huge global industry. Soccer is growing rapidly, and my children know the names of athletes on other continents because of the video games that they play and because of the exposure of the internet. I've known many a professional athlete and pastored a few of them as well. What the public doesn't see is the weight of their performance and the uncertainty of where they will live and play in the coming season. The public doesn't see the truth that owners and management of these teams view these men and women as liabilities and assets in their business model. This can create anxiety and strain on marriages, uncertainty for their children, and a weight in the heart that people don't understand. Proverbs 12:25 states, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. When you see someone weighed down with the weight of life, bless them and appreciate them with your words. Take just a moment to make them glad, as it will be a true blessing to them.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
Welcome back inside the program. What's important now, more important now than ever. I'm Tom Sears. Thanks for being here tonight. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go off the air an hour early this evening. I do apologize for that. I was going to try to upload some audio so that we could keep the program going here, but that's not going to work out. So I'm going to prepare to close this thing down this week. And I do want to encourage you to tune in to The Word. That'll be next Wednesday morning at 10 a.m., and from 10 to 11 a.m. And it's just a moment for us to just talk about the Word. And we're in a current teaching called Look to the Stars. Last week, I encourage you to go listen to the archives. We talked about Abraham's altars. And this upcoming week, we're going to talk about dreaming that big dream. Encourage you to tune into that, and hopefully it'll be challenging and encouraging to you. I want to encourage you to send us an email, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. You can write us at 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Follow us on Facebook, Win Radio Program or What's Important Now Radio Program. And you can also follow me on Twitter, T Sears Win Radio, T Sears Win Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I do apologize. We're going to cut out an hour early this evening. We're starting this series, War on Drugs. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to begin to talk to people who have fought this battle, whether it be somewhat from a point of view of a loved one or the point of view of the former addict. We have that coming up in the weeks to come. It's programs you will not want to miss. But until then, I want to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith, to contend for the faith. There is a cause. It does matter, and it is important now. If you'd like to know more about our church, newbeginningswv.com. Until next week, I'm Tom Sears. Thanks for being a part of our abbreviated Thursday evening live program of What's Important Now. Have a wonderful weekend, and may God bless. Take care.
For the peace of Jerusalem.
I'm Patrick from Oakland, Illinois, and I would like to have this prayer for the peace of Jerusalem, Israel, and her people, and that the Lord informs Israel's leaders to make wise decisions. Thank you.
This is Susie from Cedar, Georgia. Dear Lord, please let there be peace in Jerusalem. Take care of the people and let them know that they are very much loved by you, by all of us.
I will pray shalom for you, Jerusalem.
Shalom, this is Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein asking you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. To record your prayer for Israel, call 888-241-IFCJ.
This is Walked Away, brought to you by Q Place. I'm Jeff Klein. At a recent Sunday worship gathering, I noticed Muhammad sitting with his eyes closed for a really long time. Did he fall asleep? I thought, hey, we're taking communion. The music's great. If he's resting in the Lord, that's a pretty good place for this formerly homeless Muslim guy to be. It never crossed my mind that he would be listening to every word being sung. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. When it was over, he opened his eyes and said, "That was beautiful." At that moment, I really loved my church. We had welcomed Muhammad, and consequently, he felt right at home. And because of that, he got to experience the Lord. Welcoming someone with no strings attached may be one of the biggest things we can do to demonstrate the gospel. For more on the art of welcoming, go to qplace.com/walktheway.